I've said already I want to speak tonight upon this great subject of the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing stirs the heart of the child of God more than to meditate upon the love wherewith they are loved. The love of the God-man Christ Jesus. I do believe, and I have for many years now, that this is the greatest subject in all the world. The love of God. There's nothing that will stir your heart up more to pray and to witness and to walk with God and to love God more than thinking and meditating upon the love of God for sinners like you and sinners like me. The Apostle Paul said, "The love of Christ constraineth me." And Paul was surely speaking there not so much of his love for Christ, but rather of Christ's love for Paul. And as I spent time in the study alone with God and this precious book, I in a sense became overwhelmed afresh of the greatness of God's love for this sinful soul of mine. And I also became acutely aware, as we often are, of my absolute inability to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ as I would desire to do. But nevertheless, it is our prayer that the Spirit of God Himself will open all of our eyes and all of our ears and all of our hearts to receive this wonderful love. And as we tonight consider love beyond compare, I want to draw some thoughts out of the book of the Song of Solomon, which is one of the great love stories of Scripture. It really is a Cinderella story. It speaks of King Solomon in all of his majesty and all of his earthly splendor and glory and riches and wealth and wisdom, searching out a bride for himself. He did not go to the palace. He did not go to the parliament. He did not go to the great places of this world to find a bride. But rather he went to a back street town called Shunem. And in that town he found a peasant girl who had been cast off by her family. She had no real love for herself. She was in a lowly estate. She felt that she was a failure. She felt that she was unattractive. But nevertheless, Solomon himself chose this young peasant girl to be his bride. And it all typifies for us this evening the love that Jesus Christ has for the sinner. Those who are living in the wilderness of this world, those who feel that they're unattractive, those who feel that they're sinful, those who feel that nobody perhaps could love them, those are the type of people that Jesus Christ came to save and to choose to be his spotless bride. He left the splendor of heaven and came into the sin-cursed earth to call unto himself a people to be his bride. And the motivating factor was love. Love for his father and love for the souls of men and women. And I want to speak tonight very simply upon love beyond compare. Christ's love for sinners. I want you to notice, first of all, and consider with me this truth, that God's love is an astounding love. God's love is an astounding love. It has been recognized by many that one of the greatest hymns ever written in the English language is the hymn written by Isaac Watts, "When I Survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt. on all my pride. Somebody once says it was as if Mr. Watts himself had been taken back in time and had physically stood at the foot of the cross and watched the Redeemer die whenever he wrote that particular hymn. And in one of the verses he says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And in that sentiment, I'm sure Mr. Watts was acknowledging that the love of God in Christ Jesus is astounding love. Love so amazing. In chapter 2 of Song of Solomon, the bride, the Shunammite, says, chapter 2, verse number 5, I am sick of love. And what that literally means is she is saying, I am lovesick. I am overwhelmed by love. She was amazed, she was astounded that the King of Israel himself would ever love a peasant girl like her. Love that was astounding. And God's love is astounding. You say, why is God's love so astounding? Well, God's love is astounding in light of its object. Whenever we think of the people that God loves, and then we compare that with who God is, God's love is an astounding love. Here was King Solomon. He didn't want for anything. He could have literally any woman he wanted. And yet he chose the Shunammite, the peasant girl, an outcast, unattractive in the eyes of the world, rejected by her own family to be his bride. Solomon's love for her was amazing. In light of who he was, and in light of the object of his love, who she was. And yet we multiply that by infinity whenever we think of who God is and who we are. God is almighty, God is all powerful, God is all holy. God knows absolutely everything about us. He knows all about our guilt. He knows all about her sin. He knows all about her shame. He knows all of the things that nobody else knows about us and that we don't want anybody to know. God knows about it all. And yet God set his love upon the sinner. For God so loved the world. It is astounding love in light of its object. How a holy God, without beginning and without end, could ever love a sinner like me. Friends, that astounds me. The object of God's love. And then God's love is astounding love, not only because of the object of his love, but because of the offering that demonstrates his love. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, if you look at chapter 2 of Song of Solomon and consider verse number 8, again the bride is speaking and she says, the voice of my beloved, and then listen to these words, behold, he cometh. We have those same words in the book of the Revelation concerning the second coming. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And I'm sure John the Baptist was thinking similar things in John chapter 1:29, whenever he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And he recognized that the one that was making his way down through the crowd to come into the very waters of the Jordan River itself was the Lamb of God. And the Shunammite here says, behold, he cometh. And the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Do you know what he meant when he said that? He says, this is such a wonderful saying that it is a saying worthy to be accepted and embraced by all humanity. How that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he came to lay down his life a ransom for many. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ loved me and gave himself for me. What does it mean when it says he gave himself for me? Well, it means, yes, he gave himself to me. But more than that, he gave himself unto God as a sacrifice for me. And that, friend, was a great offering to deal with my sin. God so loved me that God became a man and God lived amongst men and God the Son went to a cross in a sinless body and took my sins and shed his precious blood and offered up that sinless life as an offering for my sin. Friends, it's an astounding love. In light of its object, in light of its offering, oh, teach me what it meaneth, that love beyond compare, the love that reacheth deeper than the depths of self-despair. Oh, teach me till there gloweth in this poor heart of mine some feeble, pale reflection of that pure love of thine. But it is also an astounding love in light of its origin. You see, this Shunammite girl was loved by the king before she even knew it. His eyes were fixed upon her. Somehow he knew about her and he went to where she was and he chose her to be his bride. And she didn't realize that the king loved her until she embraced that love and met him face to face. And one of the astounding things about the love of God is that it is an everlasting love. God said to his backslidden people through the prophet Jeremiah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. The apostle Paul says that we have been chosen in Christ from before the very foundation of the world. And it's not because God saw anything in us that was worthy of love. It was because God, out of his own free sovereign grace, chose to love a people who were not worthy of any type of love. Chosen not for good in me. Wakened up from wrath to flee. Hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I owe. John said, we love him because he first loved us. Whenever God spoke to Nathanael, he says, Nathanael, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Did you know tonight that before you ever have any love in your heart towards God, God has loved you from eternity past, from before the very foundation of the world. He loved you whenever you were still in your sin. And friend, tonight in this meeting, I want to tell you that God loves you. And God's love is an astounding love. In light of its object, in light of its offering, in light of its origin. But not only is God's love an astounding love, but God's love is an abounding love. It's astounding. But not only is it astounding, it's abounding. The hymn writer said, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It reaches to the furthest star. It stoops down to the lowest hell. I love that verse that says, could we with ink the ocean fill? Were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? Every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of Christ abounds over any type of human love. I'm thankful for the love of a father. I'm thankful for the love of an earthly mother. I'm thankful for the love of children. I'm thankful for the love of a wife. I'm thankful for the love of those who are near and dear to me. But friends, tonight there is no love like the love of Jesus. It's an abounding love. It abounds above and beyond any other type of love. Think of Solomon's bride. It's chapter 1, verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Chapter 5 and verse number 16. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Chapter 8, verse number 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Verse 7, many waters cannot quench love. The Shunammite is recognizing that this love is an astounding love. And this love is an abounding love. You know, the Shunammite had no confidence in herself. If you look at what she says about herself in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, she says, I am black but comely. Verse number 6, look not upon me. Because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. She feels unclean. She feels defiled. She says to the world round about her, do not look upon me. I'm unclean. I'm dark. I'm defiled. And that's not really speaking about the color of skin. The Word of God never makes differentiation between a person's social class or the color of a person's skin. The Bible's clear about that. But she's saying here, my mother's children were angry with me. They've cast her out. They despise her. They made me the keeper of many vineyards. But my own vineyard have I not kept. And she feels like a failure. She feels unattractive. She feels unwanted. She feels unloved. She feels unclean. And yet the love of the King abounds over all that. The book of Romans tells us, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Grace, God's grace that is greater than all my sin. You may be in the meeting tonight and you say, well, I have said things and I've done things and I've been places and I've thought things and this has happened and that's happened and there's no way God could ever love me. God's love is an abounding love. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Paul could testify to this reality himself. I wonder, have you ever felt too sinful? Well, we were singing a little bit earlier, the love that reacheth deeper than the depths of self-despair. You say, well, tonight, preacher, there was a time in my life when I did love God, and I did walk with God, and I have walked away from that love, and I have backslidden, I've got away from God, and I've lost my testimony. And I know in my heart that I've grieved God, and I've saddened God, and I've hurt God. Is there still love for me? Yes, there is. Because God's love is an abounding love. The people of Hosea's day, the prophet Hosea, were a backslidden people. They had committed all sorts of spiritual adultery, idolatry, all sorts of different things. They had got away from God, and yet God raised up Hosea. And what was his message? Hosea 14, verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Whenever Adam and Eve went and hid in the trees in the midst of the garden and covered themselves with fig leaves, God came. God loved Adam still. God loved Eve still. Even whenever they didn't want to have anything to do with God anymore because they were so ashamed, God came and God loved them. God's love is an astounding love. God's love is an abounding love. But something else about God's love is a hounding love. I love the words of George Matheson's hymn. We were singing it a little bit earlier. O love that will not let me go, I cast my weary soul on thee, I give thee back the life I owe. But think about those words. O love that will not let me go. You know, the writer of that hymn was born in Glasgow in Scotland, 1842. Whenever he was just a little boy, he attracted a type of illness that would ultimately result in his blindness. He fell in love to a girl. It was his purpose to marry her. And it was her purpose to marry him. And then he told her this reality. He says, now, my eyesight's getting worse. I've seen about it. And in probably a number of years, I'll be blind. Are you still willing to marry me? That girl says, I do not want to be the wife of a blind man. And his heart was broken. And yet, several years after that, he wrote this hymn. He says it just came to him spontaneously. O love that will not let me go. God had saved him. He entered into the ministry as a blind preacher. But in the first church that George Matheson was pastor of, he had a crisis of faith. Whatever happened in his heart and life, we don't know, but he said, to all intents and purposes, and to my own horror, I had to confess that I felt like an atheist. I didn't know what to believe. I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe the word of man. I didn't believe in the immortality of the soul. He went to one of the deacons of his church and says, I have to do the honorable thing and resign. The deacon says, just hang in. And he persevered. And the Lord worked wonderfully in his life. And that faith that seemed to have gone almost completely was rekindled. And George Matheson proved the truth of his own hymn, that the love of Christ is a love that never lets us go. O love that will not let me go. You see, he discovered that God's love is an astounding love, an abounding love, and also a hounding love. It never gives up. The Apostle Paul says, charity or love never faileth. Hosea 11, verse number 4, the people of God says, he drew us with the cords of love. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, Solomon's bride says, draw me, and we will run after thee. She was drawn by love. The love of the king hounded her and would not let her go. And like a fish on a line, it just drew her into the net. And she discovered that this is a hounding love. In chapter 2 and verse number 10, she says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my fair one, my love, and come away. Verse number 13, she says, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And this was a love that was drawing her effectually more and more after her beloved. Even whenever she got out of fellowship with her beloved, she discovered that he still loved her. Chapter 5, we read these words in verse number 2. I sleep. I wonder tonight, have you fallen asleep spiritually? and you've lost fellowship with God, and you've lost that awareness with God, and you're sleeping spiritually. He says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. What was it that woke her up? She says, it was the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open unto me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. And then she says in verse number 4, I've put on off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? But my beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. And he wouldn't let her go. And she lay on. And then at last she discovered that the knocking had stopped, and she got up, she rose up to open her to her beloved, and she says in verse number 6, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. And she ran out into the streets of her city. She experienced the chastening hand of the Lord. The watchmen that went about the city found me, they smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. That's how the world treats the Christian. Whenever they get out of fellowship with God, they mock, they laugh, they defile, they strip you, they shame you. And maybe she felt, now there's no way that Solomon could still love me after all this. And yet she went on to learn in chapter number 6 that he still loved her. And his love was a hounding love. And there was reconciliation. Chapter 6, verse number 13. Return, return, O Shulamite. She returned unto her beloved. Have you drifted away from the Lord tonight? Has your heart grown cold? Have you got into the things of this world and you find that the world laughs and mocks and you're not happy? Return unto that love. He loves you still. God's love is astounding love. It's abounding love. It's hounding love. But something else about the love of God, it's grounding love. As a young lad growing up through the Boys' Brigade, we used to sing that old hymn. We have an anchor, it keeps the soul. Steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Several years ago, I went to the funeral of a man I had known from my earliest days, a man that was a member of the church that I grew up in, a very godly man. He had been involved in the work of the faith mission for the best part of his life as a pilgrim, and then later on as a worker in a different field of that particular ministry. I remember going to his funeral. It was in a large church. It was packed. And I remember one of the men that spoke at his funeral quoted the verse of that hymn. And he used it to speak of the testimony and the salvation that this individual had that had just gone to be with the Lord. And he emphasized again and again and again those words, grounded, firm, and deep in the Savior's love. Grounded, firm, and deep in the Savior's love. You know, it was the prayer of the Apostle Paul that the saints at the church in Ephesus might comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, and to be rooted and grounded in love. What assurance tonight this gives the child of God, that it's not so much my love for him that gives me assurance, but it's his love declared and demonstrated to me that gives me this great assurance. We love him. And our love is so imperfect, it's so defiled, it's so small, it's almost an insult to God even to say that we love him. But nevertheless, we can say like Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. And like John, we love him. Imperfect love. Because he first loved us. Love that is perfect. He loved me while I was a sinner. He loved me while I was an outsider, a failure, an enemy, filled with pride and filled with self and no real thought of God. And yet he loved me unconditionally. Before I knew him, while I was a sinner, he loved me. And that astounding love, that abounding love, that hounding love came, and I discovered that it was grounding love. And whenever a person understands the free, unconditional, unearned, unmerited love of an eternal God, it gives them this blessed assurance that God loves us with an everlasting love. Now look at our Shunammite girl here in chapter number 3. Verse number 9, King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. And the reason he made this chariot was that he might go in his chariot and fetch the Shunammite and bring her into the chariot and then take her to the wedding feast. And in chapter 3, verse number 10, she describes this chariot. And she says in verse number 10, he made the pillars thereof of silver. And in Scripture, silver speaks about redemption. And she says, the bottom thereof of gold. And gold speaks of glory. It speaks of Christ's deity. And the covering of it of purple. And purple speaks of royalty. And then listen to this. The midst thereof being paved with love. For the daughters of Jerusalem. And as she stands in this chariot, along with the daughters of Jerusalem, her bridal party, and as she looks down, she discovers that this chariot that is taking me to the wedding feast is paved with love. And she's standing upon this foundation of love. She's grounded in love. And friend, the chariot of God's salvation, Christ himself, that takes the sinner from this present world to glory itself, is paved with love. And I stand tonight upon his merit. I know no safer stand, not even where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. God's love is astounding love, abounding love, hounding love, grounding love. But lastly, God's love is surrounding love. Surrounding love. What a change this peasant girl has experienced. Everything has changed for her. She was hated by her own, but now she's loved by the king. She was in the wilderness. Now she's brought into the palace. She was clothed in rags, her face was black, her hands were dirty. Now she's washed and she's clean and she's clothed in wedding garments. Everything has changed for her. And the king finds her and brings her in to be his bride, and she discovers that she is surrounded continually by the king's love. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 4. He brought me into the banqueting house. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Chapter 3, verse 10, that verse that we read together, she says that this chariot was paved with love. Over her, a banner, love. Under her, a paving of love. Then, chapter 2 and verse number 6, his left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me, over me love, under me love, all around me nothing but love. And the children of Israel, Moses said to them, listen, underneath, round about, are the everlasting arms, surrounded by the love of God. So high you can't get over it. So low you can't get under it. so wide you can't get round it. Oh, wonderful, wonderful love. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And if that wasn't enough, he says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Double security, surrounded by this matchless love. That's why the Apostle Paul says that nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Whether it's famine or peril or nakedness or sword or any other thing, he says, none of these things can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Underneath me, all around me, rolling as a current over me. Love beyond compare. I wonder tonight, what is your response to this love? No one ever loved me like Jesus. And whenever this Shunammite girl recognizes this love, do you know what she says? Chapter 3, verse number 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. The reality is that he found her, and then she was found of him. What does she do? She says, I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I found him, I held him, and I would not let him go. Do you know what that just means? That means she embraced him. And that's what it is whenever a person comes to Jesus Christ. They embrace him just as he is. They embrace him. And just as they are, they embrace him. Because they realize that this love is love beyond compare. It's astounding. It's abounding. It's hounding. It's grounding. And it's surrounding. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing this evening if you were to embrace that love for the first time? And to realize as you hold on to him that it's a love that will never let you go. Come to Christ tonight. The greatest love that the world has ever known. Love beyond compare.